Today's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning and welcome to Zachary United Methodist Church. If you're new to our online worship, we welcome you and we hope that you're blessed by the time that you spend with us today. Now, I don't know about you, but I find myself feeling very weary this morning. Weary from all the things that have been happening in our world over the last several months, and especially in recent days. I mean, dealing with an unprecedented pandemic that has turned our world and people's lives upside down is enough for anybody to deal with. Yet now our nation has been turned upside down with riots and with protests as we deal with the outrage over racial injustice in our country. And on top of that, we got a hurricane headed our way. I mean, I'm scared to ask what's next. Jeez. I'll tell you, it is never easy to try to put together a sermon that you think will address where people are in their lives. And this week has been especially difficult. I confess that I have struggled with the idea for this sermon for several days now. As I have sat in my office with these scriptures before me and a blank computer screen, I've tried to imagine what you might be feeling right now. And I feel probably like me. You felt an extreme of emotions, everything from outrage over what you've seen to anger, to disbelief, and sadness, fear, despair, and the list could go on and on. Some of you are probably standing in that space of confusion, confused about how you should feel about what's going on or what you should do, unsure of what comes next. And I get it. I too have experienced this roller coaster of emotions this week and over the last several months. These are certainly dark times that we find ourselves living in right now. And what makes all of this so disheartening to me is the utter brokenness that you see in people's relationships right now. Whether it be the brokenness we see between police and citizens, between blacks and whites, between Republicans and Democrats or politicians, you name it, we are a divided people. And racism, it is probably this nation's deepest wound. It has existed for hundreds of years, and every attempt to lance this infection so that it can heal, it seems to result in a huge backlash full of hate and misunderstanding, or people just dismiss it with a sense of apathy. Listen, I don't like to see protests or riots any more than any of you do. And certainly there have been those who have taken advantage of this situation to try to perpetuate their own agenda. And that's truly been unfortunate. But I think we have to recognize, as Martin Luther King Jr. pointed out, that a riot is the language of the unheard. It is a sign of a brokenness and sin against one another that simply must be addressed. And as a Christian, I know that what I'm seeing in the news and on television and the world around, this is not how Jesus would want us to live. I mean, over and over again, we hear Jesus teaching about it and praying about it, how we are to love one another and how we are to work together as the body of Christ and the family of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that this is a big part of why Jesus came, why he died on the cross. In verse 13, he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." This is God's will for us. And this is what Jesus came to accomplish. And yet we know that this is not yet reality for us. Our prayer, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Now, that's not what we see on the headlines today, is it? And this realization can be quite disheartening. Years ago, I read about a preacher in Georgia who came up with a symbol to try to represent the circumstances that I think we find ourselves in today. It is the symbol of a Christ candle. He placed it on the communion table every Sunday. It was a beautiful white pillar candle that was surrounded by barbed wire. And every Sunday, as the people gathered for worship, they would look at this Christ candle as it sat completely encircled by the rusted barbed wire. And when the minister was asked why he did that, he replied, "It's a symbol that really spoke to me. For you see, the light has already come into our world. But there is still work to be done. There is still darkness between us and the light." Like that Georgia preacher, I think we too still feel that dissonant truth, that the light has indeed come into our world, and yet there is still much work to be done. The work of justice, the work of empathy, the work of listening, the work of naming, the work of bringing about systemic change, the work of reconciliation. And as people of faith, we are charged to be honest about this truth, that we are indeed living between that time of darkness and the light. And yet we are to be ever diligent in our efforts to bring about the kingdom of God's light into this world every day, however and wherever we can. That's why this passage of scripture from 1 John really speaks to me. Because in this passage, it talks about how we are to be in relationship with one another, but also how we are to draw close in our relationship with God. And I really think there's some helpful lessons that we can learn here for our times today. According to scholar C. Clifton Black, for 1 John, communion with God is not a mystical experience, nor is it purely an intellectual exercise. 1 John suggests that we are in communion with God when we are in right relationship with others. So when there's brokenness in relationship, we're separated not only from each other, but from the sacred too. And I really think he's getting at the core of many of our problems in this world today. For as much as I am concerned about the riots and the protests and the destruction that's happening in our nation, I'm more concerned about the people involved. Because clearly there's a brokenness in our relationship with one another. And much of that is due to the brokenness that exists in our relationship with God. In this passage before us today, we have the images of darkness and of light that I think are very important to take notice of. Because in the Bible, darkness usually refers to sin. and our tendency to want to hide our sin and those things that we do wrong. Whereas on light, it reveals what is true, exposing our deceptions and hurtful actions toward one another. With that understanding, hear again these verses 6 and 7, because I think that they could be understood in this way. God is light, and in God there is no deception at all. If we say that we have communion with God while we're hiding something we've done to hurt others, we lie and do not do what is true. If we walk in the light, what we've done wrong and have been hiding will be revealed. Only then can we have true community and receive healing from God. According to Scripture, walking in the light is walking with intention and with honesty in our relationship with one another. It is something that draws us closer to God and leads us to healing. And this passage from 1 John reminds us that the first step toward right relationship and true communion with one another is that we are to own up to our own sin and the actions that have hurt other people. And that's never easy for us to do. Yet, it is always the first step toward healing. John acknowledges that part of being human is behaving in ways that hurt one another. But another part of being human beings, he says, is to hide those actions that we're ashamed of. In verses 8 and 9, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we own up to our sin, we will experience forgiveness and healing. And the reason that we can risk being honest with our sin and with ourselves is because of Jesus Christ. For in chapter 2, he says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the entire whole world. I've been thinking a lot about walking in the light as I've been watching the news reports over the last several days, about owning up to our sin, about our tendency to hide that which we are ashamed of, our need for forgiveness, and our hope for healing. Because if communion with God depends upon being in right relationship with one another, then we are clearly separated from God and from everything sacred in our country right now. Even though we may not be in that place where we're experiencing riots or protests like other people are, maybe we need to own up to our failure to see ourselves as being somehow connected to the problem that's going on around us right now. The truth is, just by living in this country, we have inherited the sins of our ancestors in regards to racism, and we have added to those things. It is time for us to walk in the light. It is time for us to stop deceiving ourselves and to recognize that we are all connected with one another, that we are all really in this together. It is time to acknowledge and to accept our complicated history regarding race and racism. It is time to shine the light on our brokenness and to have some honest conversation about how we can change the systemic injustices in our country right now. It is time to trust. To trust that the only way to move forward in healing this country and our lives is to recognize and to confess our brokenness and our need for God's grace and for God's help. As I've been watching the news over the last several weeks, I've been asking myself the question, what could actually lead toward racial reconciliation in our country? I mean, what are the signs of hope? Well, at this point, I think hope looks like and sounds an awful like how the 5th century African bishop Augustine once spoke of it. He said, hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are Anger and Courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain the way they are. It's the kind of hope that will put a candle, a Christ candle, in a holder with barbed wire fence until that day comes when that symbol no longer is needed. It is the kind of hope that calls on us to come to the table together and to have honest conversation with each other, desperate to hold on to one another as a family, and to be tools of God's healing in this world. Dismantling racism in our world, in our country, in our faith, even in our own lives, that's heart work, not just head work. And as John says, it requires owning up to our own sinful behavior, confessing and dealing with the worst that is within us, allowing God to forgive us, to create within us a new heart, so that we can be about the work of reconciliation and justice for those who are crying out for it, so that we too can be reconciled with God and with one another. And I know of no better place to begin that process of healing than at the Lord's table. It is where Jesus invites all to receive the atoning work of his grace. For it is at the Lord's table that we remember, that we rejoin ourselves together as the family, the whole family of God. It is at the Lord's table that we acknowledge our brokenness, and we're acknowledging our desire for healing. It is at the Lord's table that the light of Christ reveals that we have been broken and torn apart by misunderstandings, by perceived differences, by indifference, inequity, racial injustice, and the list goes on and on. Yet it is at the Lord's table where we also acknowledge what is the depth and the breadth and the length of God's love for all of God's children. For at the Lord's table, we remember that Christ's body was broken and bruised for our forgiveness and for the forgiveness of this world. We remember that Christ's blood was shed for you and for me and for all people so that we could be united as the family of God. I believe it's at the Lord's table where true reconciliation and healing can begin. My only regret is that we're not able to actually be with one another and to share this sacrament together as a sense of unity today. But I hope that we can at least do this in spirit. As we prepare to do so today, may you have the courage to walk in the light, to own your own sin, and to allow God's atoning work through Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, so that our hearts will be made new from within and made right with God, so that we'll be able to begin that hard yet needed and necessary work of reconciling with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, but especially with those who feel most forgotten and ignored for far too long. It is in this spirit that I invite you to come today to join together at the Lord's table.